You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN. ESPN.com Giants reporter. The draft is just days away. We're in the middle of draft week. So what we're going to do here is we're going to get to Chris Canty. He's going to be broadcasting the draft, the first round of the draft on ESPN Radio. So we'll get to him in a few minutes, ask him about what the Giants should do with pick number 25. I'm going to unload my draft notebook, but first I want to tie up a little loose ends here. The Giants signed defensive lineman A'shaun Robinson from the Rams earlier this week. Strict run stuffer, think Damon Harrison type. He's a little later on in his career, but Joe Shane has made it a priority to add to the defensive line depth. He said that from the start this offseason. He added Robinson. He added Rakeem Nunez-Roches, however you pronounce that name. I'll get it right at some point this year, I promise. They're probably going to even add more depth as we move along here. So that was a priority for the Giants, being able to stop the run. Wink Martindale believes we can stop the run on early downs. I'll be able to move guys around, scheme up pressure on later downs, and then here we go. And the Giants do have some decent edge rushers now in Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari. Obviously, they have to stay healthy. So the defense is in a little bit better shape entering the draft. The sticking point there with Robinson, he visited last month, was he's coming off injury. There was some health concern. The Giants doctors had to sign off on it. Eventually, they did, and here we go. It was always likely that he was going to sign with the Giants, and it finally happened here on draft week, and now the Giants can go into the draft and don't feel as much a need for that interior defensive line, even though if you think about it, Robinson's on a one-year deal. I guess Nunez-Roches is signed for multiple years. But Leonard Williams, we don't know what's going to happen to him next year. Dexter Lawrence will be there long-term, but what's the future of that defensive line? They could still use another piece on the defensive line. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants find a defensive lineman, even if it's early in the draft, they went that direction. Which leads me to emptying the notebook, and we'll get to that position in a minute, okay? So I'm just going to essentially tell you what I've heard. And there has been information that's come to me over the past few days. And it's not necessarily like some of it's from within the Giants building. Some of it's from the outside. Some of it's from agents who have talked to the Giants. Some of it's from other league sources, people working with other teams who've heard stuff from the Giants. So it's really a collection of stuff from all over the place. Now, with that being said, let's go with the wide receiver group first, okay? That's the one that's getting all the attention, all the headlines. And I've said this several times already. The Giants did not go travel around the country. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll only have so much time. They're not going to have dinner with these top wide receivers for no reason. So I do think that is still the favorite at position-wise of what the Giants take in the first round. And the players I've heard along the way that they like, that I think that they would be apt to take first are Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison. Those are the two that I've heard that they like that fit what they want to do. Now, I know you're saying those are the two smaller guys. It doesn't make sense. Apparently, the Giants don't care that much about, okay, we need a big, tall X receiver. Yeah, I think it would make more sense to have a better variety, but does not seem to be of concern to them. And again, think about it. Which of these guys, aside from Wandell Robinson at the wide receiver position, okay, are assured to be here even next year or 2 years down the line? So you don't look at the draft of what do they need right now, okay? You need to look at the draft of what will help this team be best 2 or 3 years down the line. That's the most important thing for me. Draft us. It doesn't mean you go draft a quarterback. They just signed Daniel Jones. Obviously, that makes no sense. Cornerback, We've talked about it all along. Another position that makes a ton of sense. Okay? A ton. And Deontay Banks is a guy here that they like. So to hear, for me, that's one I think makes sense. All right? I haven't heard anything specifically about Emmanuel Forbes. I've heard mixed things about Joey Porter Jr., and I think there's a possibility that he could end up getting down to the Giants. So we'll see how that works out. Julius Brents is also an interesting one, whether it's in the second round or trading back, or maybe even an outside shot at 25, a player that I know the Giants think pretty highly of. Now, the top two quarterbacks are not going to get to them. We know that. But now when we talk, okay, let's say the Giants don't get a cornerback in the first round. I think they would like to, depending on how the draft works out. I do. I think if Deontay Banks was sitting there at 25, that they would like to take him. I mean, of course, it depends what wide receiver's there, who else is there. Maybe someone's dropped. Who knows? There's so many different scenarios with 25, which is why it's so much harder to pick a guy at 25 that you say, okay, they're likely to take this guy. But I'll do my most likely to be selected at pick 25 list. It'll be publishing this week, so keep an eye out for that. A cornerback I'd keep an eye on for later, maybe the second, third round, Riley Moss, cornerback from Iowa. I heard is a player the Giants like a lot, specifically the defensive coaches. Five-year starter, has the quickness. He's actually a Big Ten hurdle champion for the Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year 2021. Ran an incredible six-cone drill, which 6.5 seconds, which basically shows his quickness, right? He's something like a second to fourth round pick, but I heard the Giants are really high on Riley Moss, cornerback out of Iowa, wiry, twitchy kind of player. So keep an eye on that as we move along here. Other guys I've heard, so let's say they don't get a wide receiver in the first round. You know, Addison or, why am I drawing a blank? Zay Flowers are not there, and the Giants don't have the other guys graded so highly. There's someone else they have higher. They end up going that direction. So wide receiver, Jonathan Mingo. Ole Miss, a guy they've done a lot of work on, and I've heard they're pretty high on entering this draft. And he's the kind of guy, range is about 20, pick 25 to 40-ish. So maybe, again, a sleeper for 25, but more than that, maybe if they trade back and move into the early second round or trade up in the second round to get an earlier second round pick, he's a guy that could have huge, strong hands, 6'1", 220, like thick. Ran a 4.46. Can you be used all over the place in the backfield, in the slot, outside? You know, think mini Debo type. That's what comes to my mind when I think of Jonathan Mingo. So if you think about it, that sort of fits the profile of the kind of guys the Giants like, or the kind of Giants have been focusing on here. Guys that can move around the formation, can be used in different ways, can carry the ball if you need it to him out of the backfield. Like you're not afraid to give to the jet sweep. You want to get the ball in their hands. Playmakers need guys that can make plays downfield. Two Cincinnati wide receivers I heard as well. Tyler Scott, Trey Tucker. Keep an eye on them in the middle, like day two, maybe early day three. And how about this one? Offensive line for a second. You keep hearing a lot about the Giants liking guys with versatility that can play different spots. So necessarily, if you're a tackle, they're willing to look at you at guard. If you're a guard, they're willing to look at you as center. Cody Mauch, a guy, offensive lineman, I believe from North Dakota State, that the Giants are very interested in. Again, day two type pick. Maybe not necessarily as a tackle, but seeing him as a guard. So I think that's interesting and something to keep an eye on for the offensive line portion of it. As far as centers go, I heard they like Tippmann and John Michael Schmitz. Tippmann, of course, is the center from Ohio State, Joe Tippmann. Okay. 2-year starter, pulls, traps, guy that can move, second level type guy. Whereas John Michael Schmitz is a strong, just tough to beat, plays with leverage, wrestler. One comp I've heard from him is like he's sort of like a little lesser Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey, of course, was drafted in the third round, but if we redid that draft right now, he would be a first-round pick. He's on the Chiefs. He came from Oklahoma. So I heard those are the Giants' top two centers, but they're also not apt or not scared to take a center later on, maybe day two, late day two, even early day three. A guy I heard they like is Ricky Stromberg. Plays with urgency, feisty. Todd McShay actually said he shocked him with this tape because he thought it was so good. And McShay actually has said that he sees five starting centers in this draft: John Michael Smith, Joe Tippmann, Oluwatimi, Luke Whipner, and Ricky Stromberg. So he sees five starters at center in this draft, and that lets you know that you can get centers later on in this draft that potentially could start. So the Giants could technically take a center in the third or fourth round, and he can immediately compete for a starting job this year. Worst case scenario, view him as a starter next year. So I think that's a possibility. They don't need to rush and take the center. I think taking a center in the first round is unlikely at this point. I really do. Other players to watch: Mazie Smith, a defensive tackle, interior defensive guy from Michigan. I believe there's people who think there's a lot of upside to this guy. I know they view him, some people view him as a nose tackle interior guy, but he has that twitch and he's a little faster, quicker than people think. There's people in the Giants organization apparently that think that he can develop into something more than that. A guy who can get upfield, make plays, live in the backfield. So not necessarily with pick 25, but if it was in the second round or maybe moving back out of 25 earlier into the second round, or maybe he's even available when they pick 57th overall in the second round. So those are some of the guys I saw. Oh, Steven Jones is like a day three type cornerback I heard the Giants have been all over. Appalachian State comes from. Sticky type cornerback, real late pick. So that's like a sort of sleeper, late round kind of guy that maybe you could see the Giants adding, even an undrafted free agent, if that's the way it works out. So those are some of the names, some of the things I've heard. I'll get more into it on YouTube. I'm going to try to do YouTube live Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tell your friends. With that being said, let's get to Chris Canty. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's bring in Chris Canty, former Giant great, we know, has a ring on his finger for his time with the Giants. Also was a fourth-round pick with the Dallas Cowboys, Chris. So you're going to be hosting the draft this week on ESPN Radio with your partner Chris Carlin, Ian Fitzsimmons, and Mike Tannenbaum. So before we get to that draft, I want to know about your draft for a second. Tell me what your experience was like, because I went and did a little research. I didn't realize it was not such smooth sailing going into the draft for you, huh?
No, it wasn't. I had a couple of injuries. I had one my senior year, a knee reconstruction that kept me out for the majority of the season. And then in the pre-draft process, had an incident where I had a detached retina. And so going into the draft on one leg and blind in one eye is not ideal in terms of being able to up your stock. But as it turns out, I ended up being a part of a draft class that will go down as one of the best in Dallas Cowboys history, with freshly minted Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware, Marcus Spears, Marion Barber, Kevin Burnett, and Jay Ratliff. So it ended up being a pretty good class. pretty good draft class and an opportunity for me to make my name in the NFL under a coach that I had some familiarity with in Bill Parcells, because I played for one of his understudies, Al Breaux, in college.
So you're sitting there, though. Tell me what it's like for a player. I want to know, for real.
It's awful.
You're so fourth round. Are you just sitting there as every guy's pick, like, I'm better than that freaking guy? Like,
Yeah.
This guy's going to take him over. Like, Vincent Burns was the closest defensive end that I saw drafted, Eddie. Does that even ring a bell to you?
Yeah, didn't he play at Kentucky? Is that Kentucky?
Kentucky, yep.
Yeah.
Burns is drafted like at the end of the third round. Are you just sitting there like, I'm better than Vincent Burns?
Yeah, I remember all of those guys, man. I mean, it's amazing how everything went down. So a guy that I was compared to a lot in the pre-draft process was Erasmus James from Wisconsin, and I knew Raz a little bit. And you know, I thought I was a better football player than him. I'll let all the other pundits decide who had the better pro career. But in looking at it, it was just frustrating, you know. And I tell a lot of people this when they ask the question about what the draft process is like. Only one player is going to be happy where they get drafted at, and that's the guy that goes number one. Everybody else is going to be disappointed where they get drafted at. So the next thing as a player that you pivot to is the situation that you're walking into, and is it a fit for me from a cultural standpoint and from a scheme standpoint? So I think that was the biggest thing for me once I realized I wasn't going to get drafted where I wanted to go because of the injuries in large part. It just became about where I'm going and how to make the most of that situation.
Side note, the Giants in the fourth round drafted Brandon Jacobs, and the Jets actually drafted Kerry Rhodes. So two good picks right there for the local teams. So you can't be, the fans of those teams can't be so bitter that they passed you up, and especially since you ended up coming later on. So
there you go. Exactly.
Trent Cole actually drafted right behind you, too, a few spots behind you, too. Another really good player. So that's
pretty
good guy after when I look
at it. He's got a legitimate beat, too. Trent Cole was a go-getter. He's got a legitimate beat.
Yeah, fifth-round pick and a lot of sacks in his career.
Yeah, and Jordan, let's not forget, one of the quarterbacks that went in that draft class just got traded to the New York Jets.
Aaron Rodgers.
There you go.
That is actually known as basically the Aaron Rodgers draft, you know, because the whole visual of him sitting there, and obviously he was pissed off, right, sitting in that green room.
Could you imagine
the guy sitting there in the green room?
If you're sitting there in the green room, that means back then, that means you're going to get drafted pretty high. Like, you're going to be a first round pick. So,
but it's embarrassing to be the guy sitting there as you're falling down the board.
That's a tough spot
for kids.
We've had some pretty embarrassing visuals for quarterbacks in the green room. I mean, the ones that come to mind, Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Brady Quinn is another one.
Were you making fun of Rodgers' suit there too? Is that where you were going?
Yeah, his suit was way too big. He had way too much product in his hair. Come on, Jordan. You know that. I'm not wrong for saying that.
That's just
the fact of the matter.
I think Aaron Rodgers would be willing to admit that suit was a little big.
That's fresh out of the Steve Harvey collection.
I feel confident about that.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn to this year's draft, right? You're going to be doing it. You'd be there in the first round. What would you want the Giants, when you look at the Giants in specific, they're sitting at pick 25. What would you want them to do with that pick?
Well, there's a couple of things, Jordan. I think the Giants have to get more explosive on offense. Mm-hmm. More explosive on offense, and they have to go beyond the running back position. They need more weapons on the edges. And when you look at this draft, it's not a draft that's going to be touted for their depth in the wide receiver class, but I do think there are some guys that can be some difference makers. And so I think the Giants can take a long, hard look at the receiver position, because the Giants had the fewest plays of 20 yards or more in the entire National Football League. For context, Kansas City was tops with 83 plays of 20-plus yards. The Giants had 43. 43. They've got to find a way to get more explosive. And so I think they need to address weapons on the edges. I wouldn't be disappointed if the Giants continue to fortify their offensive line either. I think those are two areas that they can look at where they're drafting at in the first round, where there'll be players there that could potentially make an impact day one. So I would look for the Giants to target those two positions.
So we'll start with wide receiver, because then we'll get to offensive line in a second. Which of the, so there's four guys that are kind of considered above the rest. So are you in agreement of that? We're talking about like Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and even Quentin Johnston is the fourth for many. Is there anyone else you have in that category?
So I'm high on Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee.
Okay, I'm really high. Smith's on the field, real for
exactly. But he's got to have an established program. It really would help if he had another vet in the wide receiver room to help develop his talents, because he's raw. But the physical tools are there, and I love that. I love the potential of Jalen Hyatt. But I'm going to agree.
You see more than just a deep threat there?
I do. I see more than just a deep threat. I think he's more than just a one-trick pony. Just his compete level is the thing that stands out to me the most, like his ability to go up and get it. And his ability to be able to separate down the field, like on the deeper routes, not even just the go routes, but the deep comebacks, the deep crossers, like there's separation there. And that's what you're looking for. Like, can the receiver separate at the top of the route? And Jalen Hyatt has shown the ability to be able to do that. But he's got to be refined, Jordan. Like, he's not a guy that can run the complete route tree. So there has to be some refinement there. And that's why I would prefer that he was in a situation where there was a veteran that had a reasonable resume where he could learn from that guy and develop. But I like his potential. But in looking at the wide receiver class, yeah, you're right. There are four guys that are seemingly above the rest, and I'm in agreement with you on who those four guys are.
And let's say in a perfect world, all four are available. Who do you like best? Which one do you think would be a good fit for what the Giants do?
I love Zay Flowers. I think he is phenomenal.
I think you too, by the way. I think that's the guy.
I think he is phenomenal. And Jordan, it just goes beyond the football attributes. The character is what you're looking for. This is a guy that turned down, you know, a really big NIL deal to transfer to Miami to finish up his last year at Boston College in 2022.
Part of him, man.
I mean, that mattered.
He's in Boston College. You hear that from NFL people, man.
That matters to me, and I like that. But then beyond that, just looking at the stuff on the field, Zay Flowers is, you know, a smaller version. And I don't even want to say smaller. I will say shorter, because he's not small. He's a shorter version of Deebo Samuel. That's what you're looking at. Like that's like he's the miniature version. Like, he can do a lot of things with the football in his hand. You can line him up in a lot of different positions. He can play the Z. He can play the slot. You can use him out of the backfield. You can get the ball to him on jet sweeps. But then you've also got a guy that can run the entire route tree, a guy that's a refined receiver. And those are the things. Like, on those crossing routes, Jordan, this guy is going to be a nightmare in terms of yards after catch. Like, he is going to be hell to stop for opposing defenses. Now, I know that the Giants took a guy that had that kind of Swiss Army knife versatile skill set in Wan'Dale Robinson last year. We'll see what happens with him, but I like the playmaking ability of Zay Flowers. And here's the thing, in terms of a guy that goes and gets it, plays a lot bigger than his height would suggest. He'll go up and get it. He'll high point the football. He can contest those 50-50 balls downfield. And that's the other thing that jumps out to you on tape. He plays a lot bigger than his stature. And he's got that playmaking ability downfield. It's not just a guy that you got to rely on for short and intermediate routes to get the football to. You can throw the ball to him downfield and he'll go get it. So there really isn't anything that he can't do from my perspective. And that's why I love the potential of Zay Flowers in that Giants offense.
Yeah, there was a guy who also was on the smaller side that thought, and the Giants drafted him 12th overall. It was Odell Beckham Jr. And a lot of things you just said sort of apply there. A little smaller version. Odell also wasn't tall, especially tall, but he's a little taller and probably a little wider. But the way he can make yards after the catch and pluck the ball and go attack it was certainly worked for him. So we'll see with Zay Flowers. I think if he got to the Giants, I do think he would be their pick. But I don't know if he.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. So you mentioned the offensive line. Okay, you wouldn't object to an offensive lineman at 25 as well?
No, so I would
what
not.
You're thinking about there? Are we talking about interior? Are you talking about center in specific? Or do you think one of the tackles makes it to them?
Here's the thing. I think interior offensive lineman. The Giants are center tackle.
They're heavily invested at the tackle.
They're center tackle. I mean, and everybody just needs to be patient with Evan Neal. He'll come around just like Andrew Thomas came around. I mean, a lot of people were ready to run Andrew Thomas out of town after his rookie year, and now you're talking about an all-pro offensive lineman, a guy that the Giants need to seriously look at locking up on a long-term contract extension this offseason.
That will happen.
It better. Because he's one of the best in all of football. So I like Osiris Torrance out of Florida. I think he's a guy that you have to think long and hard about. He's got the physical attributes that you're looking for. He's got good footwork for a guard. He's got good size. I mean, he's a wide body. And this is a guy that can play in a gap-blocking run scheme or a zone-blocking run scheme, which is rare to say that about offensive lineman coming out of the college ranks these days, because you're usually talking about a guy that can do one or the other. This guy can do both. And that speaks to
that. What is it that makes a guy that can do both? Like what traits?
It gives you more versatility in the different schemes that you can run. Because think about it, Jordan. The guard, center, guard trio is the engine of any run game in the National Football League. Those are the guys that do the heavy lifting, no pun intended, when it comes to running the football. When you have a guy that can maul a defensive tackle in front of him and move him off of the point of attack in direct runs, and then you've got a guy that can pull out on the perimeter in those fast reads or those perimeter run plays, like that to me is a game changer. It gives you a lot of optionality as far as the play calling goes, and it gives you some diversity in terms of what opposing defenses have to prepare for. So I just think that when you have a guy like Osiris Torrance, it makes a huge difference in terms of the different things that you can do for your play caller to be able to create space in the running game for Saquon Barkley and the running backs to do what they do.
So that's the one guy you look at it and say that could be worth the 25th pick and fit what they want.
I have no doubt, Jordan, I have no doubt that will be worth the 25th pick. It's just a matter of whether or not Joe Shane sees it the same way. But I love the player. I think he's really, really good. Steve Avila out of TCU is another guy. I don't necessarily love him as much, but he's somebody that's also in consideration in that realm. But yeah, I think that's what you have to. You have to consider if you're the Giants, and there isn't a playmaker there at the position that they're drafting at the wide receiver spot.
One position you did not mention here is the defensive line, and Leonard Williams, we don't know what his future is going to be after this year, certainly. The Giants have basically Dexter Lawrence and after this year, Dexter Lawrence and not much else, right? So there are some question marks on the defensive line. And you didn't mention that position. How much is that because you just don't love this class, or what goes into that? And do you see anyone that can maybe slip into the back half of the first round there on the defensive line side that could be a fit as well?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of guys that I think would be interesting. We'll just have to see what happens to them. Lucas Van Ness is a name that a lot of people have kind of looked over in terms of the top half of the first round.
The general line of thinking is he didn't start at Iowa.
That's a tradition that Iowa has. And Kirk Ferentz, like you basically have to bide your time there and you wait till you're a senior. And if you're not a senior, then there's going to be a senior in front of you that's going to start. There's no mistaking the ability that Van Ness has. I mean, this guy is a high motor player. And the thing that I love about him is that he has versatility. Not only can he rush the passer off the edge, but you can kick this guy down inside and let him rush over guards. He's got that kind of strength, that kind of power. So I like
that's what Wink would be looking for, right? He likes guys who can move around and put in different spots and move all over the formations, especially on passing downs.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got a couple of nice moves. He's got the swipe. He's got the chop move. So, I mean, you'll ask to continue to add tools to the toolbox in terms of refining his pass rush arsenal. But I like his size. I like his speed. I mean, he's got all of the dominant traits that you look for in an NFL defensive lineman. So I think if he's a name that slides to the back half of the first round, that should warrant strong consideration for the Giants. I like him. I also like Keon White out of Georgia Tech. Now, I have him more of as a second-round guy, but I could see a world where he slides into the first round. Now, this is a big body, but I think he has the ability to get after the quarterback, and he has the ability to stop the run. I mean, this is a really, really big guy, a really, really big frame. You talk about 6'5", 275, 280. So this is a big guy. So we'll see what happens there. I like his ability as well. I think he gives you that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, keep
going. I think he also gives you a lot of scheme versatility. And that's the other thing, because knowing Wink and playing on a defense where he was one of the play callers, like he likes guys that can be scheme diverse. And Keon White can play the five technique in an odd front. He can play the five technique in an even front. He can play the wide nod if we need him to. Like, you can move him around a lot of different places, and I like that the idea of that kind of versatility in that defense.
A name that has popped up on my radar over the last week or so was Mazi Smith. Maybe not necessarily at
Michigan,
time, but Michigan. If they have to move back maybe a little bit, get into the top of the second round, somewhere around there. Any thoughts on Mazi Smith?
No, I love his game. Now, he's more of an interior guy.
Right.
I don't think, you know, even though he played a little, you know, he's more of an interior guy. I think that he's got good size. He's got heavy hands. That is the one thing that stands out. He's got really, really heavy hands. I think he's got to learn how to tie his hands and his feet together, because sometimes they can get out of whack. And it makes him play a lot smaller than he actually is. I think he's shown flashes of being able to rush the passer, but you would not like to see more consistency in that regard. I think there's a ton of upside there because he's got some good physical tools, but that's not a finished product.
Yeah, another spot you didn't mention was cornerback for 25. It's
a really deep cornerback.
There's really a lot of cornerbacks going in the first round. It's a deep class. You think you're probably better off waiting? Is that your?
It just depends on who's available for you. Now, there's a guy in this class that I mean, at every position we have our favorites, right? Okay. And that's any analyst, that's any former player. We got guys that we really, really like because they remind us of players that we've seen have success in this league. I love Julius Brents out of Kansas State. I think he's going to be a really, really good pro. All you got to do is turn on the tape and watch when he was competing against Quentin Johnston of TCU, another guy that's poised to be a first-round pick, and he just got after him. He got after him the entire game. And that's the kind of compete level that I want to see. And the thing that I love about Brents is that he has the height, weight, speed that you're looking for. You're talking about a guy that's 6'3", 198 pounds. I mean, he can press. He can play off. He does a great job. He's fluid in his hips. He's got some ball hawk ability in there, and I think he's a willing tackler when it comes to run support. They're really, you know, I really like what Julius Brents brings to the party, not only from a tool standpoint, but just his level of compete. And I think that's the thing that I love about what Ryan Daboll is trying to instill in this roster, bringing a bunch of guys that love to compete. Because that's ultimately going to get things turned around where the organization can have sustained success. So Julius Brents is a name that people need to watch out for. If he's around, I think the Giants have to consider that as well.
Interesting you mentioned that, because I actually heard that his range was about 25 to 40, 42, somewhere around there. And if you think about that for a second, 25 is the New York Giants. So definitely maybe a sleeper that people aren't really thinking about right now as a potential depending on how the board falls, that, you know, they could end up going in that direction. Or if you move back a few spots, maybe somebody wants to move up, that could be a target of theirs as well. So we'll end with this, because this is obviously the highlight for the nation, right, nationally, of the NFL draft. Is where do these quarterbacks go, Chris Canty? Let's play a little quarterback roulette. We'll start with Bryce Young. Do you agree? Because it seems to be the consensus in the slam dunk that he's going to go number one right now.
Yeah, Bryce Young is going to be the number one overall pick.
So we'll take Bryce Young out of the mix. Now we have Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and C.J. Stroud. Let's do a little quarterback roulette. Where do they go? Start with C.J. Stroud.
Houston at number two.
They have to do it.
They have to do it. They need a quarterback, and I get that everybody is concerned about the S2 test score of C.J. Stroud, and how off it is from, you know, the norms in which you would look for elite quarterbacks. Will Levis, Anthony, and then Bryce Young all scored 79 or higher on that test. C.J. Stroud was at 18. That's a big concern, his ability to be able to process information. But Jordan, I will say this. I don't see that when I look at C.J. Stroud. And one of the things that I focus in on is what quarterbacks do in the red zone, because that's where the game speeds up for everybody. Right. No matter what level of sport, the game speeds up in the red zone because it's less space. Exactly. It's less space. C.J. Stroud, 25 touchdowns to one interception last year in the red zone. That's better than Bryce Young. I mean, I don't have the concerns about his ability to be able to process information, but that's what's scaring a lot of NFL teams. And talking with somebody that's close to the Carolina Panthers Nation, they said that's what scared them off of C.J. Stroud as well. That test score scared them more than Bryce Young's side. So I ultimately think Houston comes to their senses after trying to shop the pick and not getting the right value for it. They take C.J. Stroud with the second overall pick.
Wow. And so Anthony Richardson and Will Levis end up going
where and where?
I think Anthony Richardson ends up going to the Colts at number four. And Will Levis ends up sliding a little bit. I can see Will Levis sliding to the back half of the first round.
He's going to be Aaron Rodgers then.
Back half of the top 10. I think he ultimately lands with the Tennessee Titans. I think Tennessee would probably move up into the top 10 to get him, but I think that's ultimately where he ends up going. Now, Will Levis right now is the odds on favorite to be the second overall pick. So we'll see what ends up happening.
I think that's factoring in potential trade as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that Levis is going to be the second pick of the draft. I don't know that Houston is in love with Will Levis where they're going to take him number two, but I do ultimately think that Will Levis ends up being the fourth quarterback off the board.
Yeah, from what I heard as well, there are definitely teams that have concerns about Will Levis more so seems than the other quarterbacks. But so you now have, where we're taping this on Tuesday morning, you basically have 2.5 days to get ready for the first round of the NFL draft. You'll be doing it on ESPN Radio with your co-host Chris Carlin, Ian Fitzsimmons, and Mike Tannenbaum. Give me an idea. Are you like the kid who's cramming right before an exam right now? Are you just sitting there trying to memorize every little bit of information you can? You go back to the tape. What's your routine right now?
Well, right now I've got all of the tape, all of the film stuff been done. So right now it's just organizing my board. So I usually, for the first round, I go top 10 at every single position group. And then after that, we'll cross all of the names off, and then we'll re-rack the board going into the second and third round on Friday. So right now,
I've got it on
Jordan, it's 2023. I have a spreadsheet on my laptop.
So you're going to sit there with your laptop up the whole time, and as you do.
Yeah. I have a spreadsheet on my laptop, and that helps me. So when I have them based on position group. So if it ends up being a player drafted at, say, an offensive tackle, I'll tap that position group, and then I'll see all the names, tap the name, and then I'll have my scouting breakdown, the strengths and weaknesses based on the film study.
Ah, there you go. The secret sauce for Chris Canty right there. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in my closet taping a podcast, and I have a trusty notebook with just scribble all over the place of notes from everyone I've talked to about all these prospects. So,
what can I do? Joe, we got to step the game up, man. We got to get you the digital, man. We got to get this thing on an iPad or a laptop.
There's little secret notes here that can't be, you know, that can't be on digitally for people to find them and take them.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe if you had an iPad with the pen so you can feel like you're writing in a notebook, but actually on an iPad, maybe that's the way we need to go with the
job. I've evolved into the old crusty guy. This is all.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
All right, with that, we got to get out of here. On to the next one.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, let's wrap this episode up with a little quick Jordan on the beat. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And we're going to talk about the draft because it's draft week. So what else are we going to talk about? And everyone always asks, you going to the draft? Well, the draft this year is in Kansas City, right? It hasn't been in New York for a while. Remember, it used to be in New York every single year. When it was a different story. I would go some years. But now, if you think about it, the Giants general manager, head coach, really everyone important in the draft process is upstairs in the Giants building. So general manager Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they come down after each pick, talk to the media, talk to us, and go back upstairs. Well, not every pick, but at first round, yes. Probably their second round pick, third round pick, or maybe you do it just once at the end of day two, whatever it is. Get the point. Let's say you go to Kansas City. There's only so many players that are invited to the draft. Your team's picking 25th, which is the Giants. So I go to Kansas City. My company pays all the way for me to go to Kansas City. Giants pick 25th. They draft some guy who's not at the draft. And then Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are talking back at the team facility in East Rutherford. It's like, what did I go to the draft for? So really the only people that are at the draft are national type reporters, people covering a specific player, or teams that are at the very top usually, because if you're at the very top, the good chance that the guy that your team drafts is there and you get to talk to him, meet him face-to-face. Now, I do remember being at the draft in the past. 2014 is the one that sticks out to me. That was the Odell draft, of course. Johnny Manziel, I believe, as well. I think that's the same draft. So I remember Browns fans booing as they kept, I forget what it was, but Brown fans were going nuts next to us. So anyway, I do remember being there. Odell being picked, which at the time was a surprise, if you remember. Not many people had Odell Beckham Jr. on the radar. That was a great draft. We're talking about like C.J. Mosley, Aaron Donald, Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins. I mean, it was a really good draft. Go look at that draft. There's tons of Pro Bowlers littered throughout that draft. Hall of Famers. Aaron Donald, man. Please. And really, just a lot of really good players. Mike Evans is a great player. And there was just up and down good players in that draft. Anyway, so I remember meeting Odell, his family, downstairs at the draft, getting to know them, you know, and that serves a benefit for sure. But at the same time is after the team makes picks, you really do want to speak to the coach and the general manager, the decision makers, the ones that are making those selections. So being back at the facility is the way to go when you're covering your team on a daily basis. So If you're going to ask me, Jordan, are you going to be at the draft? The answer is an emphatic no. Will not be at the draft. I'll be at the Giants facility all weekend, Thursday, Friday, all day Saturday, you name it. I'll be there. I'll be talking to sources within the building. I'll be talking to sources outside the building, league sources, people with other teams that I'm friendly with and have good relationships with, agents, players who represent players that maybe the Giants drafted or are going to draft, thinking of drafting, and then I'll be bringing you all the information that I have. So, stay tuned. You know where to find me. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. You could always email me any questions. And remember, like, subscribe, tell your friends. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ronan. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.